Hello and welcome to Fat Geeky Reviews. My name is Brendan. Hey guys, I am back here to do another podcast for you, the listeners. And heck, I'm excited about this one. This one, not only am I excited to talk about this because it's not something I review too often. It's not something that I talk about in my personal life too often. And it's sad to say it because if you are a fan of this type of genre of entertainment, you don't really talk about it with people who are not fans of this genre of entertainment, because once you get started talking about it, it goes a lot deeper than it needs to go. But as you guys know, I am a huge fan of lots of different genres of entertainment, comic books being at the peak of it, but also I'm, you know, a video game aficionado, huge Pokemon fan, you know, PlayStation fan, Final Fantasy, you know, Red Dead, GTA 5, you know, all Assassin's Creed, you know, all the stuff that has to do with video games, you know, Super Smash Brothers, all that stuff. And as you guys, comic books, of course, I said that already, but as you guys know, I'm also a Star Wars fan, I'm a Star Trek fan, which you guessed, you can be both. I'll put it out there on the table. Yes, you can be both a Star Wars fan and a Star Trek fan. You know, the Star Wars is, to me, is a space western. It's a space fantasy. It's not science fiction. Whereas Star Trek, on the other hand, is more science fiction based. You know, I don't need to, you know, argue that to anybody. And I don't think I need to defend myself for being a fan of both genres. Power Rangers fan. But at the core of my fandom lies a type of entertainment that has action, drama, comedy, violence, and a lot of people have so many opinions about it, whether you're a huge fan of the genre or you are not a fan of it and don't really follow it. You would probably say that it is fake. That's the first thing that you would come out of your mouth if you weren't a fan of this type of genre, and that is professional wrestling. Yes, I am a fan of professional wrestling. I have been a fan since my one of my best friends growing up showed me a VHS tape of WrestleMania back in, gosh, 1996. 97, maybe. He had a VHS tapes of that year's WrestleMania. One of those years, WrestleMania. I think it was WrestleMania. Ooh, goodness, what was it? WrestleMania 15, 16, somewhere in there. I don't quite remember which WrestleMania. I just remember that it was WrestleMania. And then I knew some kids in my neighborhood who were WCW fans at the time. So I grew up from about, I would say, 8, 9, 10 years old up until current day in my 30s, a wrestling fan. So I've been a fan for a long time, but I've been truly invested in that type of entertainment. Yes, it is entertainment, but yes, it is real. People, you know, do real things and they get genuinely hurt. Yes, it's scripted, but that doesn't mean it's fake by any means. It's still real. People still get hurt. And you still have to be athletic to do it. So, you know, a lot of people are kind of hokey about wrestling. But at the same time, people care enough about Game of Thrones and The Walking Dead, to fight for their opinion on it. So, you know, it's the same thing. You know, people try to predict what's going to happen in the next season of Game of Thrones. Well, people, that's what wrestling fans do. They argue about the possibilities of, you know, what's going to happen at WrestleMania. So, and also at the same time, people are like, oh, you know, what's going to happen in this year's, you know, NBA draft? What kind of new talent is going to come into the pool? Same thing happens in wrestling. They bring in new talent to change up the storylines, to bring in new characters, to, you know, and that happens in sports. So the basis of professional wrestling to me embodies all of the genres put together into one product. all genres of entertainment, sports and entertainment. And that's why it's called World Wrestling Entertainment. And All Elite Wrestling and New Japan Pro Wrestling and Ring of Honor and Impact Wrestling. And yes, there are that many companies out there of professional wrestling. But the reason I wanted to do a podcast about wrestling today is because I just watched this 5-part documentary on the WWE Network called The Last Ride. And it is about the last 3 years following around one of the most mysterious characters in all of WWE, which is The Undertaker. Now, my favorite WWE superstar of all time has always been Kane. I've always loved Kane's character, and of course, Kane is synonymous with The Undertaker. They have a tag team that they are the Brothers of Destruction. They are storyline brothers, Kane and The Undertaker. And I've known of The Undertaker's career and followed it from the time he was in the Ministry of Darkness through the American Badass years up until the resurrection of the Dead Man. Up until, you know, now. And so basically what this documentary shows is something that's never been seen before, and it's showing behind the scenes version of The Undertaker, which has really been kind of kept under wraps. He's been a very private person, but now we're in the digital age. You know, back when he was wrestling in the 90s and even the early 2000s, like, cell phones that had cameras in it weren't a thing. So when you were a kid, you believed that this character, The Undertaker, you know, came onto your TV every week, came out to a wrestling ring, held up his hands, and lightning would come down and strike people, or he could bring the lights up of a stadium with his, just by raising his hands. And you believe that about his storyline brother Kane too. Kane, you know, he would raise his hands up, bring them down, and flames would shoot out the end of the ring. And when you're an 8, 9, 10 year old kid at the time, you think that crap is real. You think it's mysterious and real. And there used to be a thing in wrestling called kayfabe. And kayfabe was basically protecting the secrets of the business. You didn't want to know, because you believed what you saw on the screen. You believed that every week Stone Cold Steve Austin came out to the ring, did a Stone Cold Stunner on the boss of the WWE, kicked him in the abdomen, did a stunner, threw up the bird at him, and then walked away without getting fired. You believe that he could get away with that every single week. And it was fake. It was, yes, it was scripted. But in wrestling, kayfabe was something that the wrestlers and the people behind the scenes did to make sure that the fans thought what they saw in the ring was real. Like the bad guys in wrestling are called heels, and the good guys are called baby faces. Back in those times, the 90s, 80s, 70s, the heels of a company did not hang out with baby faces outside of the ring. And they lived and breathed those characters. Well, The Undertaker lived and breathed his character longer than anybody else ever. Especially in this time of, you know, the digital age where, you know, everybody has a better camera in their pocket than all the cameras that were used in the 90s combined. You know, you have a better camera on your phone now than all of the computers that went into the moon landing. You know, you have a faster processor than a whole room of processors did in the 70s, you know, in your pocket. So in this time, people whip out their cell phones for any goddamn thing that they see, because clicking a like button on a social media page is more important to people now than actually being good to people and getting and receiving those likes. I remember I said something on Twitter recently that pissed a lot of people off, and I told a celebrity or she's not a celebrity. She used to be in a TV show one time, and she said something really stupid on social media, and I don't even follow her, but, and I'm not even gonna say who it is, but, I said something to her, and all of her followers basically, you know, ripped me a new one, because my Twitter account only has 45 followers on it. I have two Twitter accounts. I'm not gonna tell you the name of my other one, but, the other one I used to, you know, follow political stuff and, you know, news and sports and stuff like that. Stuff that I don't do on my @FatGeekyReviews Twitter page, which you're more than welcome to follow me on Twitter. I'm also on Instagram and Facebook, Fat Geeky Reviews. You can also check out my YouTube channel, Brendan Navarre, on YouTube. You just search Fat Geeky Reviews and you'll find it. Cheap plug there. However, you know, they were like, oh, you only have 45 followers. You only have 45 followers. This is, oh, something, somebody, he's been on Twitter for, since 2012, and he only has 45 followers. I got that message like 12 times. And I'm like, do followers really matter in today's world? Yes, they do. It's a type of social status, but that stuff never mattered with The Undertaker. Because he wanted to protect the essence of his character as long as he could, you know, but stuff gets out there. People know things. You know, TMZ comes around and breaks all sorts of private news about celebrities, and everybody knows that The Undertaker is married to a girl named Michelle McCool. They have, you know, a kid or two together. I'm not sure exactly what their family situation is, but with this documentary, we got to see a lot of the behind-the-scenes stuff that we've never seen before as wrestling fans. The Undertaker is always a mystery. He's never at the Hall of Fame, in the crowd. Like, you know, when they do the WWE Hall of Fame, they all come out, and, you know, all the cameras are there, and they're there to celebrate their friends getting into the Hall of Fame, and they're sitting out in the crowd. Well, The Undertaker's never sitting out there. He's always backstage because he wants to protect the essence of his character. And people believed for the longest time that this guy had gotten buried alive or gotten buried in a casket or whatever the case may be, and he could never, ever die. But people believed that they were trying to kill him. And so he kept that character alive for 30 years, and it's just amazing that how he was able to do that for so long. But what this documentary shows is that he's just as human as everybody else. And to celebrate his career like this documentary did over the past 3 years, showing his aches and pains, showing his hip replacement, showing him having these troubles at his age because of all of the bumps that he's taken in the ring, it's just amazing to see. And I absolutely love the documentary. I loved it. So I wanted to do a short podcast. You know, I'm not gonna draw this out for that long, but I just wanted to make a short podcast just to thank The Undertaker. At the end of the documentary, and spoilers, if you haven't seen it, I'll let you have some time to shut this off if you haven't seen it and you want to go watch it. But at the end of the documentary, you know, The Undertaker basically announced his retirement. Now, he did say never say never, but basically the Boneyard match that he had at WrestleMania with AJ Styles was his last match. And if it was, then Undertaker, thank you. And I know Undertaker will never listen to my podcast, but if for some oddball reason, because you never know when things happen, if my podcast makes it to the ears of The Undertaker, thank you, Undertaker, for all of the years of entertainment, all of the years of the choke slams and the last ride, tombstone pile driver. Thank you for your streak at WrestleMania and the reason to watch WrestleMania for so many years was to see Undertaker defend his WrestleMania streak. And I'm going to tell you about my favorite match with The Undertaker. I'll talk about a few matches, because there's some on there that just are so awesome to me. One of my absolute favorite match from The Undertaker was his battle with Shawn Michaels at WrestleMania 25. I think WrestleMania 25 was the first one. The first match that he had with Shawn Michaels, because I thought that was the best match of his career. Now, I think the second one came up pretty close. The second one with Shawn Michaels. But I thought the first match with Shawn Michaels at WrestleMania 25 was probably my favorite match of The Undertaker. It had so much storytelling in it. It was such a great match. My second favorite match with The Undertaker was WrestleMania 20, when he returned as the Dead Man and Paul Bearer came back with the Buried Alive match with Kane. Oh, sorry, not the Buried Alive match with Kane. I don't think he was in it. That was before that. But when he returned as the Dead Man, to hear the gong after so many years of hearing Limp Bizkit as his theme song, WrestleMania 20 versus Kane was amazing. And then one of my favorite matches of all time with The Undertaker, probably my third favorite match of all time, is probably not one that he would classify as a great match, but when Kane, and this was the first time I saw the Brothers of Destruction as a tag team, and it's when they won the WCW Tag Team Championship. I think they went against Mike Awesome and Chris Kanyon, and they won the WCW Tag Team Championship against them. I always loved the Brothers of Destruction. Whenever they came around as a tag team, it was always really cool to see, because they're these two huge figures. And of course, Kane's, you know, sorry, Undertaker, if you do end up listening to this podcast, Kane is my favorite wrestler. However, you are a very close second. And I'm sad to see that you might be retiring for good. So if that Boneyard match, was your last match, then congratulations on such a fantastic career in WWE. And I think, and I am a firm believer in this, if there is a Hall of Fame ceremony next year, I know we didn't have one this year for the announced people who were going to go into the Hall of Fame this year, but if there is a Hall of Fame ceremony in 2021, Undertaker should be the sole entrant, and it should be a 2-hour show of just all of the people. He should have 10 people in induct him into the Hall of Fame. I think he should have Kane, Vince McMahon, Stone Cold, you know, all the people that he wants to have, you know, should be a night celebrating The Undertaker. If you think that Ric Flair had the biggest retirement party in the history of the WWE, I can't wait to see The Undertaker's retirement party in WWE, because he deserves to have one. Even though it would be wrong against the character, it's probably not going to happen, just because of, to you know, The Undertaker would never have a party. You know, he's The Undertaker, he's the Dead Man, the Phenom, you know, so we would never see that. But man, I would love to see that. So Taker, if you ever have a party in WWE, I would like to be invited, please. But I know that's never going to happen. So, So, again, thank you, Taker, for such an amazing career. Thank you for all the entertainment over my life. And, you know, thank you. Just thank you, and congratulations. So that's going to be it for this podcast. I just wanted to get my feelings out there on The Undertaker. Please check out WWE Network and check out The Last Ride documentary. It's a 5-part documentary that showcases The Undertaker. It's absolutely amazing. If you're a WWE fan by any means, you should definitely, you know, spend the $10 just to watch that documentary. It's worth it. Because it's, you know, it would be a lot cheaper than buying it on DVD, I'm sure, if it ever comes out on DVD. But I definitely recommend you check it out if you are a fan of it. Definitely watch it because it's worth it. So, well, that is it for this episode of Fat Geek Reviews. I hope you all have an amazing week, and I will catch you later.